The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hola, estamos
los Protomenes.
Está escuchando al
El Nerdy Show.
Gracias.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Adam.
I'm John.
In this episode of Nerdy Show, we're going to talk all about Iron Man 3. It is only just now, May 3rd, we caught a early but not very early showing of Iron Man. And we've literally just seen it. It's quite late at night, aka early in the morning.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it. However, we will maintain a spoiler-free discussion for... Hold on. It was a very good movie. It was possibly the best Iron Man and among the best Marvel movies that, that has been made.
Mm-hmm.
And you should go see it.
Mm-hmm.
And thus ends our spoiler-free discussion. But from this point on, if you haven't seen Iron Man 3 and don't want it spoiled, then please don't proceed. It's for your own good. It's really something that is hard to discuss without involving spoilers, so that is the end of the spoiler section.
Yep.
And now the spoilers begin.
Thanos, man. What about that guy?
Man, when Mandarin turned out to be Thanos, I was like, oh, all the rings are Infinity Gems, am I right? That didn't happen. But man, the Mandarin, holy shit.
That was the big twist, right? That was the thing that everyone going to this movie, they're like, there's this twist. And a lot of people are, you know, divided about it. Like, that was it, right? The Mandarin is not...
I guess so. I mean, honestly, Adam, for anybody who's tuning in and doesn't know who Adam is, Adam runs Geek Rest, a media, pop culture comics news site. He's on our A Comic Show episodes with Aaron and I.
Yep.
And John, of course, our SciTech correspondent. So the Mandarin, where were we? It's late at night. I apologize.
No, that was the big twist. That's what, I mean.
People were saying things. Were they saying things?
Well, they were saying like there's this big twist and no one knew like how to feel about what it was. And I had no idea it was going to be this. I mean, we're talking spoilers, right?
Right. Yeah.
The Mandarin is not the Mandarin per se.
Right.
Ben Kingsley, when you see him in all the promos, that's not the villain.
He's a figurehead.
And the exact opposite. Oh, he's the most comedic character in the movie almost.
Yeah. His, you know, quite frankly, parody worthy voice. It was a stupid voice. And they make fun of it in the movie.
Yeah.
They were just trolling everyone.
Yep. I think the people who were upset, and I understand it, are the people who wanted to see the Mandarin. They wanted to see the comic book Mandarin, or at least some form of it on the big screen.
Yeah.
They didn't get that. But as far as a plot device to move the movie and make a strong story, it was good. It was great. And Marvel's inner circle of circles, keeping this a secret. Ugh.
They did a good job.
I'm impressed.
I mean, I know a thing about the upcoming Star Trek film that I wish I didn't know.
Really?
Thanks to people saying stuff, and I'm not going to repeat it. I'm not even going to get into it, but I know a thing, and I don't want to know a thing, and I don't even, like I was saying, I don't even read these things, but I know it, and I regret that. And this Mandarin thing, man, lid on tight. Very, very cool. And you know, Iron Patriot was never at any point really Iron Patriot. He was an instrument of evil.
Right.
But, I mean, not that I expected Norman Osborn to pop out and be all like, Iron Patriot, bitches. It's a new identity for James Rhodes. The movie in general, I mean, wow, it sampled from some of the greatest Iron Man stories of the last decade.
Yeah.
Both the stuff Warren Ellis did in Extremis and the stuff that the Knopfs did shortly thereafter around the Civil War time.
Right.
When they elaborated on the Extremis plot. Really just great, all around, wonderful story.
Right.
And easily the most complex and true to Iron Man story that has happened in the film so far.
Mm-hmm. You said, I mean, it was one of the best in the trilogy so far. I mean, the origin story is always strong. Origin story is always a go-to, you know, good tale to tell. But this one totally dwarfed the sequel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember it now.
Yeah, Iron Man 2, despite Sam Rockwell being awesome and some cool scenes, was, you know, sadly, it was forgettable. It was fun, but one of the biggest problems with the Iron Man films has been a weak villain. Great actors playing the villains, but the overall premise has always been weak. And this one was very personal, very hands-on, and exciting. They learned from every misstep they ever made. Not they really ever made any huge missteps, but they played their strengths.
Right.
One of the things, and I think in a large part it was due to the way that they edited together the trailers, but there were a lot of comparisons early on to Iron Man 3 and the most recent Batman film, because they have terrorist subplots and they have a villain with a weird voice.
Yeah.
And so they were getting compared a lot, and I think they're extremely different, and I don't see there's any real reason to compare the two, because, you know, Christopher Nolan was attempting to make some degree of pop art film.
Yeah.
And Iron Man's just plain fun. I mean, some bad stuff happens to Tony, but he never gets too low. And even though you should see him crushed some of the time, I think what they've realized is that Iron Man is strongest when he's kicking ass.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants to see Tony Stark kick ass. And so that's what they deliver constantly. You know, he'll get down for a little bit, but then he'll kick ass and he'll say something funny. And they could fill a whole film with him talking smack to children.
I think it's funny that you say it's Tony Stark kicking ass, because it's literally him not in the suit for like 80% of the movie. He's in a sweatshirt, you know, jumping over walls of palaces and firearms and blowing shit up as Tony.
Yeah.
Not as Iron Man.
And they don't even really harp on it. It just kind of happens.
I mean, at the very end and in the very beginning too, he keeps saying, you know, I am Iron Man. So he doesn't need to don the suit anymore to play the hero. He's just going all out.
That was cool. You know, it would be easy enough for them to just be like, no, we're telling an Iron Man story and we're going to complete the trilogy, whatever that means, like they had a concept for a trilogy. And no, I mean, like, he's suffering from PTSD. That's really cool. I mean, he's fucked
up. He is a shaky leaf this entire movie.
He gets over it, but he kind of doesn't fully get over it.
No, that's smart. I like seeing him that weak and vulgar.
I also like how they didn't go overboard with the tech, though, because in the second one, he literally builds a particle accelerator to create an entire new type of matter, like in his basement for shits. Which, you know, he's Tony Stark. And yeah, I mean, in the comic books, Extremis, he actually recodified the entire like virus that it was supposed to actually really be in like 5 minutes while the chick went away to, I don't know, take a piss or something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was classic Tony Stark, but also, like, unbelievable, just beyond any sort of sanity. In this one, of course, instead, you know, he, like, oh, shit, I need something, you know, I need tools, right? So he just goes to the hardware store, just picks up, you know, a laundry list of shit and puts it together to make believable, completely believable weapons to face off against armed guards. Just, you know, for shits. No problems.
John, how do you feel about the tech in this Iron Man? There was a lot of varying degrees of it. For example, the homemade defense systems that he created, as well as a way more elaborate augmented reality interface and the way the armor communicates with his body and all that.
Especially taking from Extremis, it was sort of weird because, you know, in Extremis, the comic, he's actually supposed to have the virus have completely remade himself to where he's like got technology embedded within himself, truly.
Right.
But it's through like this ultra advanced biotech direct stimulation kind of stuff. And instead, it starts off with him like not with Extremis at all. He's just literally injecting like probes into his arm or whatever to gain control over the suit. Minus the fact that obviously having a flying faceplate is kind of a weird, you know, it's almost more for a comedic angle. You know, where the hell does he get all the energy from, right? Like, what is any of that? But, you know, we'll let some of that slide. If anything, I think that probably the most unbelievable thing that happens is the fact that he's gone up to Mark 42 and what we can only imagine is like a year. So he's gone through like, you know, 40 of them. He's on like Mark 3, right? In the second one or something like that. Even if I'm off by like 3 or 4 or 5, right, it would still be like, I mean.
But then they established that, that Tony has been for this entire duration between Iron Man 2 and 3, or at least between Avengers and now, developing a whole armory of Iron Man suits due to some kind of sleeplessness, nervous tick.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about literally he's going through, I mean, how many, right? 40 suits, 40 cakes.
What?
My point about it, though, is Tony's actually like controlling the suit with a brain communication interface, which is really, really cool. And that's existing tech today within reason. You know, the size of it isn't really believable, how small it is on his head, that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, we are working on having chimps be able to remote control limbs from across the Atlantic. And all this other related stuff with prosthesis and that kind of stuff. So the fact that Tony could effectively wire in and remotely control this battle suit from anywhere isn't really that unbelievable. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's got all these robots. Him being inside of it doesn't really matter. And it's kind of rare to see movies actually go to the lengths and have everything come together in a believable way. It's basically this. Today is moving so fast that most people, to create plots that even make sense anymore, have to deliberately limit themselves. So you might wind up with, you know, omnipotent AIs that aren't capable of seeing the entire picture, which is completely bullshit because, you know, they
if it's a world enslaving AI,
if it were a world enslaving AI, you know, you'd expect that it would know and be able to see through all the drone's eyes all the time. And shit, I don't know if you've already proved that a piece of technology happens to be remote controllable. The ultimate evil against itself sort of, you know, take control of it.
Why wouldn't you see all the angles?
All the angles all the time. And just be like, oh shit, no, this is a bad idea. Let me just stop that right there. Let me just crash this thing into the ground and put an end to it.
Right.
Nope. I'm going to let him into my gates.
But that's another story for another time. One of the weirdest things is the way they wrapped it up. I mean, like, the whole film, the pacing was good. The balance of drama and comedy was really sharp the whole time. And then it wrapped really quickly. And It did a lot of surprising things. Like, for example, the arc reactor in his chest was not a plot point throughout the film. And then magically at the end, he's like, and you know what? He doesn't even really give you enough of a voiceover to really explain how he's able to come to this. But he actually has the shrapnel removed.
Right.
And that was a complete non-issue in the film. The arc reactor on his chest is iconic branding that they sell a lot of t-shirts based around. And they get rid of it.
Yeah.
They get rid of it without it meaning anything or without them properly explaining it. I can no prize it in that, well, maybe Tony actually wanted to have that weakness. And so he allowed himself to not think about actually fixing it in the way that he would. Or maybe Tony finally had the epiphany because he's Tony Stark and there's nothing he can't solve. Sometimes he just needs a little bit more time.
Or maybe some of the extremist tech gave him an idea.
Maybe so.
There too, yeah.
But there was a lot of unanswered questions.
Because that was what he was working on, of course, since Potts kind of got jacked up.
At the end of the film, he does the clean slate operation. He destroys all of his suits. That's fine. That doesn't feel wrong. I mean, I'm not like, oh my God, is Iron Man not going to come back?
He just wasted millions and millions of dollars.
I'm not worried about the future of Iron Man. I'm like, okay, well, he's got his buggy ass 42 suit is dead, but you know what? It was a success. And once he gets a fully operational one, that's all he needs. He doesn't need the other crap. No big deal. Okay, he's got the arc reactor out of his chest. That's weird. Okay, Pepper's infected with Extremis and is superpowered now. They didn't resolve that at all.
Yeah. We don't know if she still has Extremis or if he actually removed
it. He's kind of like, don't worry, I'll make you a drink when we get home and you'll be fine.
But would you fix your wife-girlfriend thing from being a superhero, basically? Like,
well, Pepper kicking ass was absolutely great.
Yeah.
Whereas in most cases, the love story element of the superhero film is always mega frustrating.
Oof, yeah.
Like really, really bad. The Pepper Potts story has been great. One of the things that I really loved in the comics that happened a couple years ago was when Pepper became Rescue. Tony gave her own Iron Man armor. And though it was kind of lame to be all like, well, obviously because she's a woman, then she will be a protector and her name will be Rescue. on the other hand, the way that they wrote the character and had Pepper dealing with the responsibility of having that armor on during the situation at hand in the comics, that was a really cool dynamic. Right. And I think seeing her as a reluctant hero, but kind of getting off on the power is great. And you see a hint of that here, and I hope it doesn't go away.
Yeah,
I like that the villain has an ambiguous death because I think the way that they developed AIM in this film was very exciting.
Yes.
And if we don't see, like, I was thinking to myself during the film, I was like, my God, if they get rid of AIM, if they like do away with AIM 100%, they will be missing out on the coolest thing that they could have as a universe-wide problem for these films.
And they didn't even scratch the surface.
No.
I mean, you just basically saw the branding of the name and he mentions that they got money and they're think tanking projects, but AIM's coming back.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't need the yellow suits or anything.
No, I don't want the B suits.
But what they got right here, it's strong. And if that guy, man, if he goes all MODOK or something, I mean, I don't, you know, or whatever a cool version of MODOK would be.
Right.
Go for it. So let's talk about Extremis in brief a little bit. If you haven't ever read Extremis, it's by Warren Ellis. It's one of the defining Iron Man bodies of work for the last quarter century.
And it's really deep.
And it's actually pretty much what they went to retell his origin story in the first movie. That modernized, you know, alcoholic, but I mean, they went to that, the Extremis pretty much.
Yeah.
When you're infected with it, you literally turn into a husk. And then you crack out of that and you're just like hyped up crazy. I mean, it has Iron Man going like 1-1 against these guys and losing. And it was only when he jacked himself up with a modified version of Extremis and basically became, you know, faster reaction time, like a perfect seamlessness between him and the suit, that he was actually able to finally beat them back. So, I mean, you know, pretty heavy stuff. Another thing that's, you know, kind of like left open is we see the woman responsible for extremists get shot, but she just sort of crawls away and you never really see her again. Holding extremists in her hands, of course, like she could easily jack herself up, possibly, you know, refill the bullet holes.
Right. She doesn't have to die from that. If I remember correctly, like her name, Maya, stuck out in my mind. I believe she was a component of all the extremist related stories. Am I right?
Like, yeah, no, I think she even comes like, up later in Director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right,
where like basically like, her and Tony are like, you know, just fucking.
Yeah, that's what I thought I remembered. Yeah, she's both in the Warren Ellis story and the Knopfs. I believe a father-son writing team. They took over just after or just before Civil War. You know, like they've had bigger names on the books since then, but they did some of my favorite Iron Man material. We'll link to where you can actually pick up these books if you want to see the stories we're talking about specifically on this episode's page.
It'd be kind of interesting if they went Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Iron Man.
Well,
that would be
like the next big problem is Thanos, and you're already talking Civil War.
I hope they bring Extremis back up with S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I want to see them tackle this problem or just add a couple more notes to it.
You know, they've got AIM. They've got Hydra.
Right.
If they put a little bit more time into developing Hydra in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I feel like with this film, they did enough with AIM for me to be like, AIM could just show up and say, hey, we're AIM and we're a problem. And I'd be like, oh my God, that's awesome. Hydra, because they're mostly a World War II problem, still has a lot of proving to do. Now, I think, of course, in Winter Soldier, we could see more of that.
Wasn't AIM pretty much just an offshoot of Hydra? Like, wasn't it, it came out of the same people?
Yeah, they have some shared history. Mm-hmm. They are not partners, you know?
Right, right.
If they are partners, they're reluctant partners.
Yeah.
They got some very different ideas on how to do things.
Yes.
And how many movies are they actually coming out with this year alone? Because, I mean, I know Thor 2 is like coming out and like there's a Wolverine movie and I feel like there's even another one.
Well, I mean, of course, if it's not something that was featured in the Avengers, it's not actually Marvel Studios.
Well, of course.
But admittedly, The Wolverine looks like a really good movie. It looks like that. I ain't getting my hopes up, but it looks really good.
Yeah.
What's exciting to me about the new Thor movie is that it seems like it's from the trailer, and the trailer doesn't show much. You don't even know who the fucking bad guy is. And again, I don't read the papers, so I don't know. Maybe you know. I don't know who the villain is.
That's Malekith, baby.
What?
Malekith.
What's that?
I don't know. He's one of the realms.
Okay.
He's the Dark World. There you go.
He is a realm, apparently. An entire realm.
Okay.
A big deal.
Well, good. Okay.
Marvel now, you know, they'll be bringing him back into the comics.
No doubt.
Catch up. There you go.
My favorite parts of the previous Thor film was everything that happened in any place that wasn't Midgard. So this looks like it's all set in Asgard and the other realms. So yeah. I'm all for it. No problems here. As long as they get rid of Natalie Portman or just downplay her, super. No one wants to see the Thor romance. I hope Natalie Portman dies in that film. I hope she dies right away. There's a shot in the trailer where Thor's on his knees and he's like, no! And I'm like, oh, please die.
It'll be the entire thing. It'll just be him staring at her dreamily, her staring back, questioning.
Don't even say that.
But together, but apart.
But I do think that is it for this year, right? Like Winter Soldier, the Captain America sequel, doesn't come out until next year, right?
Yeah, as far as Marvel, yeah.
Oh.
Got Superman, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Could be good. We'll find out. I'm one of the few people who stands behind Zack Snyder being a halfway decent director.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see. We'll see where that goes. Closing thoughts on Iron Man 3. I thought it was great. The ending was too much of a wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
The Bruce Banner after the credits ending, that was cute. Not what I was expecting. You know,
that's one thing that I actually did hear on the internet before I went into the movie.
Yeah.
Like I saw like even the line for line what that was. Had no idea the Mandarin was just going to be, you know, a patsy in the movie, but I knew the dialogue from the post-credits scene.
So brilliant. I can't get over how brilliant the Mandarin thing was.
Yeah. I think it's one of the biggest strengths of this movie.
You have a chance to kind of feel it out before they officially reveal it. When I saw the teleprompter in the room, I was like, that doesn't...
Right.
This seems like more of a setup than I'd expect, but then even still, you don't really realize the extent of it when Ben Kingsley is just a drugged up, drunk asshole. The action scenes were so much like... I remember Iron Man 2, I felt like, man, they just got all these CGI suits zipping around. It's really hard to focus on anything. Not a problem this time. The skydiving sequence, brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
So well done. A nice tribute to Florida's long history of stacking people when they're water skiing.
Among other things.
One quick thing I'll throw in, just because you brought up that scene and I thought it really impressed me. The 3D of this movie was great.
Mm.
I didn't mind the 3D at all.
I kind of forgot I was watching it most of the time, but it did.
I mean, that's just it. I mean, that's,
it was good.
You don't want to notice, yeah, you know, those scenes that, okay, that was for 3D. You want it to be subtle. And there were so many times where 20 minutes would go by. I'm like, oh, that's right, I'm watching a 3D movie, but I've been in it, you know, I was convinced. So they did a great job.
Yeah.
I honestly God didn't even remember that it was 3D like pretty much the entire time after like probably the first 10 minutes. But other than that, it was just completely seamless.
Follow the mullet, ladies.
The flashback sequence it opened with, it was great. Seeing Happy have sort of a bigger role, a more important role in the film. Like, he wasn't in much of it, but it's still...
They used his character more.
Yeah. And all the other films enabled this film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of those live up to how good this movie is.
Right.
And this movie definitely grows off how good those films are.
Shane Black's baby.
And the kid wasn't annoying. Kid was fun.
Kid was fine. Kids in comic book movies, you could go one of two ways very fast. And it was fun. Start calling him a pussy. It was awesome. I mean, they're connected.
Really, really great. Iron Man 3, really great. And we'll start up a spoilerific board on the Nerdy Show forums where you can talk about all this crazy shit and any theories you have about where this is going to go for the Avengers. I guess, you know, one last closing discussion is, I heard that there's a chance that this might be the last Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man film. I mean, it's at the very end of the film, after their wonky James Bond-esque credits, it said, Tony Stark will return.
I was joking. I'm like, Robert Downey Jr. won't.
Yeah.
It's like so ambiguous.
Post-credits sequence, you know, notwithstanding, it ends with him saying, I am Iron Man.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so you're going to turn your back on that? Or, I mean, we can't pay you enough money? I mean, they got Johnny Depp in Pirates 4. He didn't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's walking away from it yet.
Yeah, we'll see. Certainly they can offer him some kind of a figure, but
if the movies were getting worse, like most movies do when they hit their third, like actors can tell they lose faith in the people behind the production. The people are only getting stronger. So, yeah. I mean, this movie did kind of save his...
I understand an actor's need to not want to be pigeonholed in a role, but I mean, the problem is he defined this character as being... only very, very, very subtly, not Robert Downey Jr. Anybody else who plays this character, if it's in the same universe,
right,
would have to be doing a Robert Downey Jr. impersonation. They, in many ways, closed the door on some aspects of Iron Man. Like, in the wrap-up, it was kind of like, well, it's done now. As though they needed to say it was done, as though a third film really means anything anymore. They kind of put some things to bed for seemingly no reason, and I hope it's not just because they're losing their lead actor, who is irreplaceable.
Mm.
We'll end up with the George Lazenby of superhero films, you know? Who's going to be that guy?
God help us all.
Regardless of what's coming, I have faith in Marvel.
They've done a great job. They're not going to let us down. And if they do, it will be crushing. It'll be absolutely devastating. And DC, for maybe the first time ever, will be like,
might take the reins for a little bit.
Yeah. I do not think they have it in them. Even if Superman kicks ass, it still won't save face. But anyway, guys, we're a listener funded podcast. You make this show possible, and thank you so much for doing it. April was a great month. We met our monthly support goal and the bare bones money we need to keep the show running and all of our shows in the Nerdy Show Network. So thank you so much. Before April ended, we had two nice people send us some notes. Cork, who was very, very generous, I can't stress that enough, said, just because I love you guys. And Durafago said, figured if I pay you guys enough, you'll pronounce my name correctly. Dur-off-a-go. Keep up the good work, guys. Love the latest Pokeballs of Steelix. I'm sorry for saying your name wrong for so long, man. You know, I've been pronouncing it Durafago. It's spelled that way in my defense, but Durafago. I like the mighty Durafago, which trampled small lizards in the Cretaceous period. I'm no paleontologist, guys. Ask Dr. Alan Grant. I am not a paleontologist. Anyway, back in March, one of our supporters, Garrier, his contribution pushed us over $100 mark, and so he earned a microsode. However, he wanted to play a little game. And so Garrier offered up his microsode to anyone in April who supported the show who didn't themselves earn a microsode. And we have a winner. He rolled his digital die, and it randomly chose Donovan Steyer. And Donovan Steyer, he's got a cool microsode selection. He says, for the topic, I'd like to hear some of the Nerdy Crew's stories about finding ways to well and truly break games, video or otherwise. Infinite combos and magic, making completely unstoppable characters in RPGs, finding spots in the game world that make your character fly at light speed, stuff like that. That shall be the topic of a microsode, and it's an awesome one. He also said, again, I want to thank you guys for consistently putting out tons of great content. Hopefully in the future, I can buy some microsodes of my own. Thanks so much, Donovan, and again, thanks to everybody who contributes to the show. If you contribute to the show, we send you cool perks in your email. We have something new every month, and every time you guys help us meet one of our goals, we add something on. Last month, for example, we started with a reading of some very, very, very not safe for work, 18 and up only, please, fan fiction, some Star Trek Voyager fan fiction. It made us very uncomfortable to read. Against our better judgment, we put that out there. That was a support perk. And then when we passed the goal, $300 goal passed, we added on outtakes from our Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell episode with Casper Kelly and Dave Willis from Adult Swim. Some extra stuff with them and us. And this month, May 2013, we have about 6 minutes of outtakes from the recording session for our episode about SimCity and E3, where there were some tangents that did not fit in the episode. They did not pertain to the discussion, and they were very distracting. So if you want to hear about Brandon's bar mitzvah...
He had one?
Yes, he did. He read from the holy book, and...
I don't believe it. I don't believe any of it.
It happened.
Holy shit.
There were witnesses. The story unfolds in this outtake session. If only I had a recording of it, then maybe we'd offer that up too. But
I wonder if somebody does, though. They have to. It has to exist.
You know what? You're right. But I don't know how we're going
to
get it.
We have to raid his parents' house.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening, guys. Thank you so much for supporting us. And if you like what we do, only a dollar and you get some cool stuff in the mail. That's all you got to send. Every little bit helps. And also, one last thing. To fans of our comics-based programming on Nerdy Show, especially ones who follow Atomic Robo, we just this past weekend put out a brand new Atomic Robo Nuts and Bolts for the free Comic Book Day issue for Free Comic Book Day 2013. It also covers the digital exclusive Atomic Robo Two-Fisted Tales. So, special Saturday edition of Atomic Robo already out as of you hearing this. Go check it out. We'll link to it on this episode's page. Or you can go to nerdyshow.com/AtomicRobo. Go see Iron Man. Talk to us on the forums. And we got more cool stuff coming up. Some State of the Empire, long overdue Nerdy Show book club. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
I'm Adam. Bye-bye.
John.
And taking us out, we've got an oldie for you. And if you're playing the Nerdy Show drinking game, which doesn't yet exist, get ready to drink, because this is a track by Adam Warrock. I know we play him all the time. All the damn time, but hey, dude wrote a track called Iron Man, and it's from his 2010 album, The West Coast Avengers Mixtape. It's a rad track, the subject's appropriate. What the hell else were we supposed to do? Take a goddamn drink.
Y'all don't really want to rock with this, cause it's sort of like fighting an apocalypse. Call me Mr. Sinister as I administer genetic material. Better have your superpowers diminishing with a zigga-zigga rock. And I reckon this hit hot, overdubbed tracks, and you know that it's so hot, cause even Tony Stark couldn't figure it out. Every rhyme per millisecond as I'm spitting it out, and the people asking at it when they album drop. And so I had to drop a mixtape to get it to stop. And just in case you thought that I could only do the East Coast seas, I drop a gangster rap style with ease. And if I had to choose a coast, I got to choose the East. I live this side, but you can visit anytime. But that don't mean a rapper can't slang with the West. Rapping gang bang in the West.
Oh yeah.
So mic check, cause I could go on for days. And when I grip the mic, the crowd is yelling out, flame on, cause it's sick of the same style, the same song. Bring the noise, fuck the tattoos like Savion. I'm way beyond a rap about attacking a brother. Too old for this shit, so you can call me Danny Glover. And I gotta leave the weapon when I speak of my piece. And I choose to use it only for good, so you can breathe. Welcome to the West Coast Avengers. I'm here to take your ass on another adventure. We're strong enough to save the world from evil intentions. And Iron Man is here to make your ass assemble. Welcome to the West Coast Avengers. I'm here to take your ass on another adventure. We're strong enough to save the world from evil intentions. And Iron Man is here to make your ass assemble.
Hey bro, thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is made possible by A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by, like, telling a friend and rating and reviewing us on iTunes or making a contribution to our monthly support drives, right? Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in, you know? For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, like articles, and like more, you head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all our totally tubular Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. Yay!
Hold on a second. We gave them a spoiler alert for Iron Man. That's not a spoiler alert for every film in theaters currently.